many blessings. I think I set a good tone for today. And I certainly, if you've never done that, try it. See how that works. You'll find you'll run out. Hopefully you'll be excited about what God's done for you before you're through. Go ahead and take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at one verse at the moment. Ephesians chapter 5, and if you found your place and you're able to stand and read the Word of God, we ask you to do that. If you can't, certainly not offended. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read that again, church. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful. God, truly, truly thankful to be in your house today. And Father, we're even more thankful to be in your presence. And Father, we need your help. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, give us clarity. We ask for wisdom, as the Scripture says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And Lord, we do need your help. I pray that you'd remove us out of the way. Lord, I pray that you'd minimize the distractions and help us to focus on the message at hand that you've laid upon our heart. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Came across this story I wanted to share with you about close to Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving time, a young man named John had received a parrot as a gift. The parrot had a bad attitude and even worse vocabulary. Kind of sounds like a lot of us sometimes. Every word out of the bird's mouth was rude, obnoxious, and laced with just bad words. John tried and tried to change the bird's attitude by consistently saying only polite words, playing soft music, and anything else he could think of to clean up the bird's vocabulary. Finally, John was just fed up, and he yelled at the parrot. The parrot yelled back. John shook the parrot, and the parrot got angrier and angrier and got even more rude. John, in desperation, threw his hands up, grabbed the bird, and put him in the freezer. For a few minutes, the parrot squawked and kicked and screamed. Then suddenly, there was a total quietness. Not a peep was heard for over a minute. Fearing that he had harmed the bird, John quickly opened the door to the freezer. The parrot calmly stepped out onto John's outstretched arms and said, "I believe I may have offended you with my rude language and actions. I'm sincerely remorseful for my inappropriate transgressions, and I fully intend to do everything I can to correct my rude and unforgivable behavior." John was stunned at the change in the bird's attitude. As he was about to ask the parrot what made such a dramatic change in his behavior, the bird continued, "May I ask what the turkey did?" That parrot got an attitude adjustment. And you know what I've come to find out, church, is that sometimes we need attitude adjustments. Sometimes God has to shake things up and put us in certain places to get us to change our behavior. Is that true? I can tell you, I can think of certain points in my life where God has come down and stirred me up or shaken me up or done something to get my attention. And the result of that was a change in behavior. And oftentimes, I'll tell you that if it's of the Lord, we will come away thanking God for what He did through that situation or that circumstance, or come away realizing how good God has been or how blessed we truly are. The text that we're looking at today, church, and we're going to share several scripture with you, but you notice the Bible says giving thanks always, right? Giving thanks always for all things. And it's just a few words, but there's a lot in that statement, in that verse, even the first part of that verse when it says giving thanks for all things unto God. So the first thing that we want to look at today, church, as it says in the Bible here, we're going to notice the timing of our thankfulness or the timing of thankfulness. Now let me say this. Thankfulness should never cease because our blessings never cease. You know, you may wake up one day and you be going through a storm or a trial. That does not mean that our blessings should or our thankfulness should stop, because God is still good and God has still blessed. I was thinking about, as we were praying and preparing for this, the life of Job. And, you know, Job, of course, was tested and he was tried. And And basically God allowed him to do everything to him except for take his life. You think about what Job lost. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his family, or I should say his children. I don't think that his wife was very supportive at one point, so you could argue maybe even he lost her in a way. He didn't really have a friend that was coming by and encouraging him, just trying to build his spirit. Instead, it was more of, Job, what have you done? That to cause such things to happen to you. But through it all, if you think about this, church, the devil thought that he was taking everything that mattered to Job. But actually what mattered to Job was God. And so he couldn't really take what mattered most to Job because God was what mattered most. That doesn't mean that he didn't suffer heartache. And that doesn't mean, church, that he didn't suffer loss as we do. It just means that God was the most important part of his life. And that's why he said, I served him before, I serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if anybody could be a great example in the scriptures of still praising God and still realizing how good God has been, Job would be a pretty good example for us to learn from. But when we're talking about the timing of thankfulness, it should be, or the living of thankfulness, it should be a constant state of thankfulness. You know, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. That's probably one of the hardest commandments to keep in the Bible, right? You know the Ten Commandments and many of those other things. You say, well, Pastor, I've had no trouble with that. Well, praise God. I'm glad. But what about that one that says, in everything give thanks? Now, that's a little bit more difficult to keep, isn't it? To always give thanks for everything, always understand that God is still good. But church, I think what's happened today, and I don't mean just you personally, I mean in our society, in our culture, we're living in a day of ungratefulness. And probably a lot of us today could really use a little bit of an attitude adjustment, kind of like that parrot got, right? I know that's just a story, just a thought. But we could use some attitude adjustments. And sometimes we walk into the house of God just grumbling, complaining. Let's get this over with. Friend, if we had a thankful heart, we'd be glad that we're here, right? We'd understand there's places in the world that can't gather and that can't freely worship God. I mean, we could still put out a sign in front of our church that tells everybody when we're going to meet, what we're going to have. Hey, there's places that have to hide, an underground church. And aren't you glad you still live in a place where we can still freely worship the Lord? But the timing of our thankfulness, church, ought to be in a continual place, ought to be a constant place. Kind of like where the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Our thankfulness should never cease because the blessings have never stopped. So the Bible literally says, giving thanks always. Giving thanks always. Friend, I want to tell you something right now. If you are a constant thanking God, it's kind of hard to complain, right? You know, one of the things that we do, oftentimes we start to complain on how bad we got it or what we don't have in our life or what's missing in our life. It is really difficult to complain if we're thankful, right? You know what I've come to find out, friend, is that often the biggest complainers are the most unthankful people. I don't mean that in the wrong way. It's just a fact. You can't really do both. It's kind of hard to come and complain about things that you don't like or things that you're missing or things that you don't have when you walk around just thanking God for how good He's been. Now, friend, I understand that. I'm a human too. I work too, just like you. I understand that you live life and you have hard days. I understand what you're saying. But, friend, we can still live in a place of thankfulness. So the first thing that we notice out of our text is the timing of thankfulness. Giving thanks always. The thanks should never cease because the blessings never cease. Number two that we'd like to mention today is the extent of our thankfulness. Okay, so we should always be thankful, but what should we be thankful for? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. For all things. It says for all things. Are you reading the Bible with me? Can you see it there, church? Giving thanks always for all things. So the extent of our thankfulness is all thanks. Now, let me just give you a couple thoughts on that. I believe that sometimes, even in the mundane things, we don't give very much thanks for that. Say, well, Pastor, how can I be thankful for a sink full of dirty dishes? Church, dishes is one of my least favorite chores, right? It really is. I'd rather work out in the hot sun, do a lot of other things. There's just something about dishes. I don't like to wash them. But you know what? It's actually a matter of perspective. You do understand that, right? You see, if you have a sink full of dishes, think of it this way. First of all, it means that you had a meal. Are you with me? It means that you had a meal. It means that God blessed you with enough food to put in the dishes, that you had a fine meal, and now the result of that is God's blessings, or actually a reminder of God's blessings on your life. Say, is this how we thank God in the mundane things? I think so. Because there's a lot of people in the world today that wish that they had a house, that wish they could serve a meal, that wish that they could dirty some dishes. Man, there's probably some people that would say, I would love to wash dishes in a sink in my own house. First of all, they don't have a roof over their head. Second of all, they don't have enough food to put together to even dirty a dish. Are you with me? So a sink full of dirty dishes is a matter of changing our behavior, or actually should say changing the way we think, because it means that God's been good to you. It means that God has blessed you. Say, well, Pastor, I'm constantly always cleaning the house. I've got a house full of kids. It doesn't matter what I do, they just mess everything up. You probably already see where I'm going with this, church. It's not a secret. I'm not giving you anything that's a secret today. You know what that means? That God has blessed you with some children. That means that God has blessed you with the health of the children that are apparently going around making messes all over the house. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't be taught. I'm not saying they should. I understand all that. But the fact is that God has blessed you with some children. They're running around everywhere. Now, some of you say, Pastor, my problem's not my children. It's my husband. And I realize that too. That was my wife. I'm inserting that for her. Amen. But you know what? Hey, aren't you glad you got a husband there? Aren't you glad? Hey, there's some single folks that I know that don't have a spouse today. Aren't you glad you have somebody there to mess things up every now and then? You see, friend, it's a matter of changing our way of thinking. Because you know what we need, church? We need a little bit of an attitude adjustment. So dirty dishes, those mundane things that oftentimes, I told you before, another chore that I'm just not a fan of, and I'm becoming less of a fan of it, and I have to go right back to this same place. I'm not a fan of grocery shopping. And I've become less of a fan of grocery shopping at the Walmart in Coolidge. First of all, we need a bigger Walmart. It's like a mini Walmart, but it's not a mini amount of people showing up. I mean, you can't hardly walk around with your grocery cart knocking into something or somebody, right? And I'm not trying to, by the way. But you know what I'm saying? It's not easy. You get in there, long checkout lines, unless you want to check out yourself. And my thoughts, well, I don't work here. But anyway, that's another story. That's another story. But I'm just not a fan of it. It's time-consuming. I would say it's pointless, but you kind of have to have the food to dirty the dishes to bring in the house, right? But friend, every time I get there, God has to go back and say, aren't you glad that you've got the money to be able to go and buy groceries? Do you know how many people would love to go through the trouble and wait in line as long as they had to in order to buy some groceries that you have been blessed with? I mean, this last week, my wife went and she took care of most of it and went to the store and got a meal together. Well, Grandma was in town, as most of you know, and we decided to have just a special Thanksgiving meal with her and her friend, and that was a blessing. I mean, it was just wonderful. And guess what? Lord willing, we'll have a different one this upcoming week, as many of you will, and several in between. You know what that is? That is a sign of God's blessings in your life. So can we thank God in the mundane things? Absolutely you can, because it is a reminder of God's blessings in your life. So when we're talking about everything or the extent of thankfulness, all things and the mundane things, you would say, well, Pastor, what about in the suffering? What about how can I thank God for pain in my life? Let me just go ahead and tell you this, church. You do realize that if you give that thing to the Lord, it causes us to be more dependent on God. It causes us to be more dependent on God. And I understand that we're not happy about pain and sorrow, but when you give that thing to the Lord and you realize, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? How can I get closer to you? Lord, what lesson do you have for me? Friend, you can be thankful in that. Don't tell me that Job's faith wasn't increased after everything that he went through. Don't tell me that he wasn't a stronger Christian for the cause of Christ after everything that he went through. For the record, when we start to think about all these things, you know, and we'll get to this later on, Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Do you realize that when he's writing this, can I remind you of something? There's a reason why they're called the prison epistles. Did you know that? Where do you think he wrote that? In prison. When Paul showed up in the town, he didn't go around, asking what kind of hotels they had in the town. He probably went and checked out the jail because he knew that's where he'd end up for preaching the Word of God. Somebody say amen right there. So here he is writing down, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father of our, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in prison. Now, if we got thrown in prison for doing God's will, how many of us would have that attitude of gratitude right there? How many of us would be able to say, you know what, you ought to give thanks? That's kind of hard. But you know what he was doing? He got to the place where he realized, and I like it. You'll see many of the epistles he titled by saying, I, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? He was bound to Christ. He himself was committed to being faithful. He mentioned at one time, none of these things moved me. Nothing was going to deter him from serving God. And that's where the Apostle Paul found his strength. And he said, for these things, talking about thanking God for his infirmities and all these things, he learned to thank God even through difficult times. And you know what, friend? That's probably what you need. You're having a difficult time. You're suffering with something. You're facing a battle. It's probably the best time to say, you know what, God, you've been good to me. Because what happens oftentimes is we're so focused on the battle and the problem and the heartache, we forget about how good God is. We forget what God has done. And maybe there's someone here today, friend, you know the best thing that you can do is just get sit back somewhere and say, Lord, thank you for being good to me. Let me show you something else that happened to Paul. We're talking about the extent of thankfulness. Go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Bible says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the what? Furtherance of the gospel. So you see, another thing that Paul learned to be thankful for, and that was part of the extent of his thankfulness, that he realized, hey, these things that have happened to me has only furthered the gospel. So now he has learned to be thankful because he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. In other words, he's learned to be happy no matter what situation that he was in. But now he realizes that through these things that God was using him to further the gospel. Friend, if you're going through a hard time and you're going through some heartaches, it's important to understand that God can use your testimony and God can use your life for the furtherance of the gospel. Because people look at our lives and they say, wow, how do they make it? How does she make it? How have they gone through so much and yet they're still faithful to the house of God? Hey, I know that they've been wounded. I know they've been hurt. I know they've had a hard time, but they still seem to be happy. There's something at the very core of who they are. I wonder what it is that causes that. And friends, sometimes what you don't realize, you're planting seeds before people. Paul said that you are a written epistle, that your life is an open letter, an open book for people to read, and you don't realize how much of an influence that you're having on people's lives around you that could lead to the furtherance of the gospel by the way that you live your life before them. So friend, when we're talking about these thoughts for thankfulness, the first thing that we notice is the timing of thankfulness. The second thing is the extent of thankfulness. The other thing that I believe that happens when we're talking about being thankful even during suffering, Psalms 119 verse 67, watch this. Psalms 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Verse 71 of the same chapter, notice this. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Did we read that right? It is good for me that I've been afflicted. You know what happens is that we develop a deeper relationship and a better understanding of God's Word and a closeness to God after we have gone through affliction. David said, as a result of that, it is good that I was afflicted, I might learn thy statutes. In other words, it's good that I went through this difficult time because I learned your Word and I got some lessons through that thing, and now I have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this affliction in my life. Friend, that's another thing that we can learn to be thankful. Be thankful that God is trying to deepen our relationship with Him. We mentioned this morning, church, the timing of thankfulness, the extent of thankfulness. Thirdly, let's look at the enemies of thankfulness. Would you say that there's some enemies of thankfulness and things that cause us not to be thankful? First of all, you know one of the things that happens is comparisons. We compare to other people or other things. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." One of the greatest enemies of thankfulness is when you start to look around and you say, well, look at everything he or she has. I've been a better Christian, or I've been a better person. How come they have all that and I don't? Friend, be very careful with that. That's one of the devil's devices. He starts to let you look around and start to become envious and jealous of other people. How come they have been blessed with that and I haven't? I'm just giving you a word of caution, friend. That is one of the greatest enemies of thankfulness, and nothing will cause you to have a grumbling heart and a complaining attitude when we start to look around and look at everybody else and say, they have something that I should have, or they have something that I deserve, or they don't deserve. Hey, friend, it's not for you and I to deserve. Since we're on that, let's be careful when we talk about what we think that we deserve. Because I'm going to tell you what I deserve. I deserve to go to hell with my neck broke. That's what I deserve. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what the Apostle Paul said in reference to who he was before, a persecutor, an injurious. He wreaked havoc in the church, and he made that statement by the grace of God. So, friend, let's be careful when we start to think about what we deserve, because that's a great reminder. In other words, if you have more than that, which you do, if you've been saved by the grace of God, friend, you've been blessed. So let's stop comparing ourselves with each other and say, well, they have something that I should have, or they don't deserve that. That's a great enemy, and it'll kill your spirit of thankfulness. The other thing that often happens is expectations. I remember not that long ago, Sister Sarah, you were with us. We went out for your birthday on Chinese dinner, and you remember a certain individual. We won't get into all that. But there was an individual there that was simply talking about, well, you know, I do all these things for people, and I get so upset because they don't come back and say thanks. Now, friend, it's polite, and it's proper to say thank you. If somebody does something for you, or somebody gives you a gift or a word of encouragement, you and I know that that's proper. But on the other side of that, if you did something only to expect a praise from that, or some kind of note, friend, then you did it for the wrong reasons. Now, it's a blessing when they do. But if you give or did with an expectation, then, friend, it's going to cause you to have a bad attitude. Friend, when we have the wrong expectations, that's going to kill our thankfulness or our spirit of thankfulness that God wants us to have because we expect things. Let me show you this in Psalm 62:5. In Psalm 62:5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Hey, you put your expectation in what the Lord says and what God's Word says. In fact, Psalm 118:8 says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Right? You know what? The way we should live, hey, any blessing that we have truly comes from above. In fact, the Bible says every good gift cometh from above. You know, part of our problem is, church, we kind of like become like a deer. Let me explain what I mean. You know what deer do? They walk around eating acorns that fall on the ground. They don't ever look up and see where they came from. You know the problem that you and I have, church? We walk around and taking in the blessings, but we never look up and see where they came from. When the Bible says that every good gift cometh from above. You see, friend, we've set a wrong expectation of how things ought to be or how life should be or how people should treat us. Friend, God is not impressed I mean, in fact, if you go to Matthew chapter 5, there's a principle there. We don't got time to get into it all, but basically, Christ is teaching us a lesson there about being good to people even when they haven't been good to you. We have this mentality, our culture has adopted in society, well, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But you know what? You ought to be good to people even when they haven't been good to you. It's not impressive to be good or kind to someone who's been kind to you or good to you. But it's godly character to be kind to someone and good to someone and pray for someone, especially when they haven't been kind to you. That's called godly character, friend. There's a difference. You see, we have a wrong expectation of how people ought to treat or act or talk. And friend, if we get our expectations, if we expect nothing else except for what comes from the Lord, it's going to hinder your spirit of thankfulness. That's one of the enemies. You know, one of the other enemies of thankfulness is our busyness. We get so busy living life. We don't ever take a minute just to sit down and say thank you. We don't ever just take a moment and say, God, you've been good to me. Honestly, when's the last time you got on your face before God and opened up your time of prayer and say, Lord, just thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for the prayer that you've answered in my life. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Psalms 103, 1 through 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The problem is we forgot. You do understand that that is part of the reason, and I believe that God wants us to be constantly in the Word, because as you read the Word, you'll see and be reminded of God's blessings and what God has done for you. The problem is we get too busy. You know, people say all the time, you know, Pastor, I don't have time to read the Bible. Those are usually the same people that watch a Netflix marathon. Those are usually the same people that could spend an hour watching the news, no problem. Getting quiet, church. I mean, I'm just sharing some thoughts this morning. Is it true? These are the same. You know what I've come to find out, church? It's not complicated. You make time for the things that matter to you. If being in the Word of God and time of prayer matters to you, you'll make time for it. If being faithful to church and coming to the house of God is important to you, you'll make time for it. If it's not, it's always going to just be something else. But see, the problem is, friend, we get so busy and we just forget to sit down and say, Lord, let me not forget all His benefits. Friend, what's one of the enemies? The other one I sort of touched on again, I'm not going to go, but really it's just the grumbling, complaining. Look, start to read the Old Testament, you'll realize that there was more people killed for grumbling and complaining than probably anything else. Just because they weren't thankful. Just because they didn't understand the goodness of God. Those are some of the enemies of thankfulness. And the fourth thing we want to look at today is that there's a general lacking of thankfulness today. Would you agree, church? There's just a general lacking of thankfulness. I mean, you're living in even in a day, you know, I know that, you know, bless God, we are American citizens and we want good service, right? I mean, you serve me good, and boy, if they don't, we're going to let them know. And I'll be the first to tell you, friend, I'm not saying there's not a time to speak up, right? Sometimes you have to say, hey, if something's not right or somebody shorted you on your change, I understand. You may have to say, hey, listen, I'm missing $20 here, you know. Can we, let's get this reassessed here, right? I understand that. But there is a right way and a wrong way to do that. You with me? If somebody does come out and didn't serve you the food the way that you ordered it, we don't have to be ones to throw a fit. You know, we can say, hey, listen, this isn't exactly what I ordered. I'd appreciate it if it's corrected. Thank you. You know why? I said, well, they didn't serve me right. Don't ever let your liberty as a citizen or as a consumer take authority or precedence over your duty as a Christian. Because you are still a child of God. And even though you have a right to go back and say, hey, you can do it in the right way and you can do it in the right spirit. Listen, I've gone out with folks, even loved ones. I just stopped going out with them because all they want to do is complain about the service the whole time we're there. I mean, their glass kit's half empty and they're already throwing a fit. Well, they must not like me because my glass isn't filled up already. Why don't we get over ourselves, folks? Honestly, listen, don't take this wrong. We're not that important. Huh? God help us. It's okay to say, hey, would you mind giving me a refill? That's all right. And if they don't do it right, you know, try to put yourself in there. And I'm not saying, I realize that some of them just frankly don't do a good job. I'm just telling you to keep the right spirit and the right attitude. But you know what, friend? Even when we have to speak up, even the Bible says speak the truth in what? In love. Speaking the truth in love. And that's okay. All I'm saying, friend, is that these are enemies. These will kill the spirit of thankfulness. But getting around here where we're at, there's just a general lacking of thankfulness. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Luke chapter 17, verse 15. This was when, do you remember when Christ had healed the 10 lepers? Who remembers that story? Verse 15, and one of them, when they saw that he was healed, one, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Friend, there is a general lacking of thankfulness in our culture. And I hope that we have not succumbed ourselves to be one of the 9. You know what we should be? We should be the one. First of all, we don't got time to get into all, but you understand these 10 lepers, they came to Jesus begging for mercy. You do realize that spiritually speaking, when you came to Christ and asked God to save your soul and to forgive you of your sins, you do realize that you were asking God for mercy. So why should we not be thankful? Friend, don't succumb to this just, well, nobody else said thanks. No, friend, you always show a heart of gratitude, and God will honor you for that. Jesus said, where are the 9? There's just a general lacking of thankfulness. The last thing we want to mention today, church, is just a couple of lessons on thankfulness. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Bible says there, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, this week, many of you, how many of you ladies, or even you men, you just have a homemade recipe that your family loves, and you make it every year. Who has a dish like that? Okay. All right. Miss Carol, I'm going to pick on you. What's your recipe? What is it? A shrimp salad. Let me ask you a question. How would that dish work that you call a shrimp salad without the shrimp? Are you with me? When you have a recipe, you need every ingredient for it to have the outcome that you want. Right? If you're making donuts, and I support that cause. And if you don't put sugar in it, it'll probably still be good because it's fried bread. But it's not going to be as sweet, is it? Right? You need every ingredient. If you want a certain outcome, you need to make sure you include all the ingredients. Probably a popular one would be salt. There's not very many dishes I know that don't have salt. Even sweet dishes, they have salt. If you were trying to cook this Thanksgiving and didn't have salt in your kitchen, that's going to be a problem. I know in our house, if we don't have butter, it's going to be a problem. I don't want no mashed potatoes without soaking in butter. Amen. Some of y'all getting hungry. All I'm saying, church, is you understand the simple principle of that if you want a certain outcome, you need every ingredient in the recipe. Did you notice that the Bible said here, it laid out a recipe, it said, be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know what happens sometimes is we constantly go to God in prayer, asking and asking and asking, but we forget that part of the recipe that says, with thanksgiving. How can you expect God to constantly give and bless. There's nobody here that would say, I don't want the blessing of God in my life. How can you continue to do that if you don't include that important ingredient of thanksgiving in your prayer and supplication? Now, friend, I'll just make a statement. If you constantly go to God and you ask, and boy, you claim that scripture, bless God, we have not because we ask, and that's true. However, the Bible also says with thanksgiving, if you constantly go to God and ask and ask and don't say thanks, that's a wicked way to live. To constantly be asking for more and don't ever take time to say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Friend, I'm all for going to God, and listen, not just in times of trouble. You've heard me say many times, if you only go to God when you're in trouble, you're in trouble. Go to God in a crisis. Go to God when things are good. Go to God every day, be in a constant state of prayer. But if we constantly go to God and never include that important ingredient of thanksgiving, friend, that is, there's something wrong spiritually in our life. Because the Bible says with thanksgiving. So one of the lessons that we should take from our thoughts on thankfulness is simply, before you ask for more, give thanks for what you have. The second thing is simply a lesson of learned behavior. I mentioned that scripture in Philippians 4:11, same chapter, just a few verses down. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know what? I believe that it's an interesting place to be, to constantly, going back to what we said, asking God for more when we have, learn to be thankful for what we have. But then another part of that is, why should God give us more if we haven't even learned to be happy with what we have now? Do you understand, church, that people who have learned to be happy and thankful, it's not just so much that they have, it's just that they've learned to be happy and thankful for what they have. It's not because they feel like they have so much, but it's truly because they have just learned to be thankful for what they have. And friend, our culture, our society, it's become a bigger, better, best. It's more, more, more. I mean, look at how many people financially are in debt. Because they've got to have and they've got to have now. I mean, we're indebted. Friend, we just need to learn to be thankful for what God has given us. It's okay to pray about other things. It's okay to ask God to open doors. All I'm trying to say, friend, is learn to be thankful for what you have now. Oftentimes we think, well, I think I could be happy if I had this. I think I could be happy if I lived there. Friend, you ain't going to learn to be happy anywhere until you learn to be happy where you are now.
That's right.
You're just going to go everywhere. You're going to get these things. And if you finally get them, sure, it'll put a smile on your face for a little while. It's not going to last. Because, friend, we're talking about a learned behavior. Just like the parent had to relearn his behavior, we are literally talking about changing our attitude and changing our perspective and realize that, you know what, I am more blessed than I realize. The fact that I'm saved by the grace of God, the fact that I have a roof over my head, the fact that I have food to eat, the fact that I have a church to worship at, you are more blessed than probably the majority of people in the world today. So it's a learned behavior when Paul the Apostle said, I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Friend, God, this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It's God's will for my life and your life to learn to have a heart of gratitude. Let's all stand to our feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Ask the pianist to come. Friend, I'll be honest. Maybe what you need today, you do realize that before praise, before victory, the first ingredient is thankfulness. Before victory comes praise. Before the praise comes thankfulness. And friend, maybe we even learn to be even more thankful during the hard times. And what you need today is you need to get down somewhere alone with God and say, God, thank you. Lord, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for what you did at Calvary. Thank you for my family. Thank you for what I have. Church, we have so much to thank God for today. Who would do that today? That maybe you just want to come down to the altar or kneel where you're at and say, Lord, thank you. I'm blessed beyond measure. And if I never got a blessing the rest of my life, I've already got more than I deserve. Maybe you'll do that. Maybe someone's here to say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart and I need to have a better attitude of thankfulness. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Thank you, I see that hand. Anybody else? Thank you, I see that hand. Who else? Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you, I see that hand. I need to have a better attitude of thankfulness. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put them down. Thank you, I see that hand. Maybe some here to say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I was to go to heaven or die today that I'd go to heaven when I die. I'm not sure if I've ever been saved by the grace of God. You mentioned being thankful for salvation, but I don't know if I've ever got that. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Nobody looking around, please, for just a moment. Hey, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody at all? We'd love nothing more than to pray with you, take the Bible, and show you how you can know for sure. Anybody? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? We're going to pray for you. My goal is not to embarrass you, friend. I want to pray for you. Thank you. I see that hand. I'm going to pray, but please remain standing with your head bowed and eye closed. Father, Lord, we are truly thankful, Lord, for what you've done today. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, even though we don't deserve it. Lord, I don't know why you loved us so much, but you did. The Scripture says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, thank you for what you did at Calvary. Lord, I know that there's several needs here this morning. Several lifted their hands and said that they need to have a better attitude concerning their gratitude, concerning their having a thankful heart. And Father, with them, and I include myself, help us to just learn to be thankful. Lord, to wake up realizing you've blessed us with another day. Lord, another opportunity to serve. Father, that we have so much. Lord, let us never forget thy benefits. Lord, let us not get too busy. Just take time to say thank you. God, you've been so good. And we do thank you for that. Be with all those who lifted their hands. Lord, you know their condition. I pray that you speak to them in a special way. Help them. Lord, there was one or two that lifted their hands, not sure about their salvation. And Father, if they have that need, and Lord, if they don't understand or they don't know, or they've never got it settled, I pray, God, that you would speak to their hearts and help them to realize that today is the day of salvation. God, we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Please remain standing with your head bowed and eyes closed for another moment. Friend, if you're here today and you're not sure about your salvation and you'd like to get it settled, we'll ask you to come and we'll be happy to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. If that was you, friend, would you come? Would you come? We'd just like to take an opportunity to show you what thus saith the Lord from the Bible, from the Word of God. Would you come, dear friend? We'd be more than happy to help you and take time. Nothing more important to me than you getting that settled. If that's you, friend, would you come? All right, church, thank you so much. I hope you've done what the Lord's wanted you to do today. We're so glad to have you in church. Aren't you glad what God's done for you today? Amen. Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Brother Kevin, would you mind to dismiss us in a word of prayer, please?